we're back. You're listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of this program. I'm Nicholas, and we're going through the Gospel of Matthew, and we landed in chapter 19 and verse 7. Okay, yes. Why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? And he saith unto them, Because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery, and whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. Now here goes Yahshua again, raising the standard. They had the standard of the law. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not murder. And he says, well, if you look on a woman to lust after her, that you have committed adultery already. Mm-hmm. If you want to do it, but you can't. That's the same as doing it. You're guilty, right? And he said about murder, if you hate your brother without a cause. So he raises the standard there, and he raises the standard here. So listen, and listen well. I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication. Now, fornication is a very broad term. And, of course, it refers to sexually related sins from adultery in this case, of course, or any other sexual sin that would break the Heavenly Father's commandments. This could even be withholding. You got a lot of wicked women out there in the world today that control their men by withholding sex. That's right. And that could fit under the title of fornication, because that's a sin that has to do with sexuality. So that would be adultery and withholding, using it to control a man. These are all illegal activities when it comes to the area. So yes, a man could lawfully divorce his wife if she simply withholds sex from him. So it says, except for fornication. You know, I'm so glad that Yahshua has enough understanding, of course. He is the master. He knows everything. And he shows us his understanding here. He understands us. That's right. He's not a God up there that's so far from us that he can't understand us, so high above us that he doesn't know what we have to go through and what we have to put up with in this life. He makes the exception. The except it be for fornication. And shall marry another, he committeth adultery. So now he puts it on the onus on the men too. If you put away your wife for an unlawful cause, or for a light cause, let's say you think, well, the state gives me license to leave my wife because, we have irreconcilable differences. And even though she wants to stay with me, I have an unreconcilable difference. For any cause, I can put her away, and I do that. Well, you are now engaging in adultery unless you remain single for the rest of your life. Because listen to what Paul said. He said he was talking to married women, and he was talking to married women who were in the ecclesia, the church at the time, and he said to them, if you leave a husband, that you should remain single or be reconciled to your husband. There are no other options for you women out there that have left your husband unlawfully. You've left your husband without a lawful cause. You are to remain single or be reconciled to your husband. Period. If he abandons you, that's a different story. You're free. And if he abandons you by, say, abusing you and beating you half to death and your children, he's already abandoned the marriage. I have no place in my heart for abusers, people who beat other people.
Or yogurt.
No mercy for them. because they're forcing their spouse and their children to flee. And if you're in a situation like that, it's a true situation. And I know there's a lot of fakers out there too, because, you know, I've been a victim of false accusations myself. And a lot of men have suffered because of their women who are evil women who take advantage of the courts and the systems to leave their husbands for any cause and take the children away from him. And those wicked women, they'll get their just due. That's for sure. So if you put away your wife, you men, without a just cause, without a lawful cause, according to God's law and according to this word, it says, and you marry another, you commit adultery, and whoso marrieth her that which is put away doth commit adultery. So not only do you commit adultery, but whoever marries your wife is committing adultery. Now, under abandonment, if a wife is abandoned, you know, Paul goes through it a little more concisely. I believe what we have to draw here is that if a woman leaves her marriage or a man leaves her marriage unlawfully, the guilty party, that party that broke the law, is going to be entering into an adulterous relationship and causing whoever enters into that relationship with them to be committing a continual and living in continual adultery until they repent. Some people may be living in adultery unknowingly without guilt. It's true. I believe that. But the innocent party, the one that is not guilty, let's say the wife that said it should not be so, till death do us part, I want to be obedient to the Heavenly Father. We can make it work. I will live in obedience to you, husband. But he says, nah, you know what? I am tired of your color of hair. I'm tired of the sound of your voice. Or for whatever light reason, in this day and age, I found another wife. And I don't want you. I got to put you away so I can take her. Unlawful. Adultery. That's what it's all about. And now we get into other changes in the law, because, of course, we have today laws against a man taking more than one wife, where a man was not so constrained under God's law. And I guess we're going to have to talk about that, too, as uncomfortable as it is sometimes, because you get castigated by the society, and especially by the most of the corporate churches, and even a lot of the unregistered churches believe in forced monogamy. And I don't see it in the Heavenly Father's law. The law never changed. The law allowed a man to have more than one wife. And that would solve a lot of problems, because a man is a man, and if a man wants to take another wife today, he has to put away his former wife. Whereas in the day of the law, of God's law in his kingdom on earth, if a man wanted to take another wife, he didn't have to put away his former wife. As a matter of fact, if a man wanted to take another wife and he put away his former wife, that's what Malachi was addressing when he called it a wickedness, because they didn't want to take care of their older wives who couldn't produce children for them. So they wanted to put them away. And he called it doing them violence. And that's what made it even worse, is that they were allowed to take another wife, but they still owed their first wife everything that they owed them before they took another wife. And is a man allowed to take another wife? Well, according to the Heavenly Father's law, it has never changed. But let's take some advice from Paul. Paul said, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient. Now, when Paul said that, he didn't mean it was lawful to commit adultery. He was talking about everything that is allowed by the Heavenly Father's law is lawful for me to do. I can do all those things. But he said at the same time, not all things are expedient. In this day and age, and in the land where I live, it is not expedient to take another wife if you're going to be in ministry. Especially because You will be castigated by the world and you will be castigated by the church. But I'm going to tell you another thing. And this is a warning to you preachers out there and you teachers of God's word. And I'm going to say this about myself, not about you. It is unlawful for me to represent the word of God. It would be unlawful for me to say that the law did change, even though I can't point to the change in law. It would be lawful for me to construe the scripture to say that it is unlawful for a man to have more than one wife lawfully. It would be unlawful for me to twist the word of God because of my own societal bias and indoctrination. And that's why you're listening to this program. That's why people listen to this program, because they know I'm not going to twist the word. I'm going to give it to you like it is. There's only one verse in the whole scripture that they construe to have changed the law. And it says, the scripture is about qualifications for bishops or leadership in the ecclesia. And it says a man, one of the qualifications is that a man must have one wife. And I got into a small debate with a man about this, and he quoted that scripture, or should I say he misquoted it. He added the word only one wife, which is dishonest. Of course, he had to add only because that's what he wanted it to say. And the scripture verse is about qualification for leadership. That's what it's about. It's not a marriage statute. And if it was a marriage statute, which it is not because it doesn't say only, if it was a marriage statute, it would only apply to leaders in the church. They would be the only ones who were not allowed to have more than one wife, because you can go through the scripture and you cannot find one condemnation anywhere from our Heavenly Father explicitly stating that it is unlawful for a man to take more than one wife. You cannot find it. As a matter of fact, you find the opposite. You find that David was given wives by our Heavenly Father. Yes, Yahuwah proclaimed that he gave David wives, plural. And there's no doubt about that. And that's when he was upbraiding him for his adultery and murder to take Bathsheba. It wasn't that he took another wife. It was that he committed adultery and murder to do it. He said, I'd give you anything, David. Didn't I give you your master's wives? And also we find statutes governing a man having more than one wife in the scripture. But Paul said, all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. So I'll take Paul's word for that. I'm engaged in ministry here. I'm going to teach you the truth. I'm going to teach you what the word really says, but it would not be expedient for me to take more than one wife, because it would hurt my ministry. It would give the enemy occasion against me and to sully my name in the world and in the corporate church and with those who do not understand the law of God. Okay. What more can I say about that? A few caveats for that. How did we get that? The law against a man having more than one wife in this society. Well, of course, it comes out of Rome. And it comes out of governments that hate strong family governments, because a strong family government becomes a kingdom, a nation, an ethnos unto itself. And the governments of men and the idolatry of romance is all about tearing down kingdom, family, law, and government. So it is contrary. And if I can add a little more before we move on, if Yahuwah's people, the people who are called by his name, if you've crossed the border and entered into his kingdom, you are the true Yahudim. You are the true people who are called by his name. You are the people who call on his name, who follow Yahshua whithersoever he goest. If these people obey the first commandment that the Heavenly Father gave to Adam and Eve of be fruitful and multiply, the kingdom would increase by leaps and bounds. It's because his people have embraced this idea, the idolatry of romance, and have embraced birth control and now abortion and even homosexuality, that the kingdom is stayed, that the church visible cannot win against the abortion front. Cannot win on the abortion front. You can walk for life all you want, but if you're practicing abortion, and if you're practicing just practicing birth control and limiting what our Heavenly Father calls a gift, that is children, and blessed is the man who has his quiver full. No wonder the kingdom of God is not advancing, because if you're doing the walks for life and you're practicing birth control, you are a hypocrite. That's right, you're a hypocrite. Because your desire to limit godly children being born into godly families is the genesis of abortion. Because then you're just engaging in sexual activity for pure pleasure and not for the reason that our Creator created it. And if we were not mind-controlled as God's people, if God's people could read the Scripture clearly and a man could have a huge family and teach them in godly ways to walk in the nurture and admonition of our Heavenly Father, we could take over this world by sheer population. But no, we have to be brainwashed and mind-controlled into limiting families by throwing off the principles of a godly man having more than one wife, yes, and practicing, and even going further than that by practicing birth control. And then when you practice birth control, then abortion comes into the church. And then when abortion comes into the church, homosexuality comes into the church. Well, I think I've expanded on Yahshua's teaching there. One verse, there you go, about committing adultery and fornication and the Heavenly Father's law and the doctrine of putting away or divorce. And for those of you that are really interested in this, I think I have an 8-part Bible study. I think it's 8 hours long. And, it's entitled, Betrothal, Marriage, and Divorce. And I go through the entire scripture. I think I missed a few verses, but it's fairly exhaustive. It goes through the entire scripture from beginning to end. And, commentary and expansion, expository teaching on those topics because they're all related. Betrothal, marriage, and divorce. So if you email me, I don't have that posted publicly on my website. If you email me and ask me for a link to that study, I will give it to you. If you want it on CD or tapes or anything like that, I can also accommodate you that way. Just make sure you email me. Go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and if you want to give a donation for that resource, you can do that there too, but I'll give it to you absolutely free. You can download it, and you can listen to it on demand. Just email me and ask me for the study on betrothal, marriage, and divorce if you're interested in these things and in a full expansion of that topic. I just gave you a little taste here of what that topic entails in its entirety. So we'll move on. His disciples said unto him, in verse 10 of chapter 19, if the case of man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry. But he said to them, all men cannot receive this saying, save they to whom it is given. And here it's talking about celibacy, not being married. And some of the disciples were married. Peter was married. Paul was married. And I don't know how many of the other disciples were married. And some of them were young men who never married and remained celibate. And that's what they were called to. So he says, all men can't receive this, but save they to whom it is given. He continues, for there are some eunuchs, and he's not talking a eunuch is a man who has been castrated physically. That's the definition of a eunuch. For there are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb. So there are some men that are born eunuchs because, you know, a birth defect or whatever. They were born and never were, what do you call it? I lose the word, but you get the idea. And there were some that were made eunuchs of men, so there were some that were castrated by men to be servants, you know, in certain circumstances. And then there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. And these aren't men who castrate themselves, but these are men who practice celibacy by sheer force of will for the kingdom of heaven's sake. And he says, he that is able to receive it, let him receive it. And this would absolutely be the minority. For most of you out there, the will for the Heavenly Father, thankfully, is that you seek a spouse in obedience to the Heavenly Father, get married, and have children. Do not practice the idolatry of romance, which leads to birth control and abortion and then homosexuality in our society. We'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Cross the Border.